Excellent. Well, it's time for...
Lincoln Inspired is more than just an arts festival, more than a literary festival, more than a whole set of lifestyle opportunities, and more than what the world has needed for a millennia. To see just how much more Lincoln Inspired can make you, go to lincolninspired.co.uk and explore the inspiration.
Quite right, too. But we welcome, first and foremost, our ace poet, Michael Blackburn, to the studio. How are you, Michael?
Oh, I'm very, very, very well. Thank you, Alex.
And although the title of the programme is Inspired on Air, which obviously has its roots in the Lincoln Inspired Festival with Sarah Bullimore et al., we're delighted to be able to share the joy with our neighbours now, because technically for 1 month only, it's the Books in the Castle events, the Newark-on-Trent Book Festival, with, of course, the soon-to-be legend that is Paul Trickett. Good afternoon, Paul.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Excellent. Now, Paul, you are the supremo behind the Newark Book Festival. We've got three fabulous authors who will be joining us on the programme today, Margaret Dickinson, Jay Glitherow and Julie Summers, talking about their excitement in terms of looking ahead to the festival and so on and so forth. Saturday the 8th and Sunday the 9th of August. And this, I mean, I have to say, having shared with Sarah Bullimore, et al., the whole range of stresses and strains that go through all the putting together of festivals, etc. Michael Blackburn, you've done a whole range of things as well.
Indeed,
with respect
yes.
to the team. Within 5 months from January pretty much through the May, well, say 6 months or so, to get this together, I think you already deserve the title of miracle worker.
Yeah, thank you very much. On a limited budget as well. Yeah, I think Edinburgh comes in at about 4 million and we're coming in about under 10,000. So we're doing pretty good,
And probably a better lineup, actually, all things considered. I mean, you've got John McGovern there. So for any Scottish people who are sort of thinking, ooh, maybe we should actually sort of work through that, John McGovern, the genius captain who lifted the European Cup, not once, but twice, under the era of Brian Clough, of course.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, 150th anniversary of Nottingham Forest. So I basically threw the guest audience list open to the public, and I sort of said, "We've got a blank canvas this year. Who would you like?" And now, he came in.
Well, rightly so. Now, Tuxford, known of course for your very own bookshop.
Yep.
The site, if we went back in time, for the arrival of Julie Sullivan Reader, very apt surname in many ways, a member of Newark and Sherwood Council, involved in business development, who just happened to pop into your bookshop and actually gave you one of her business cards, and then it all started. Share with us the little trail behind this fabulous exhibition.
Yeah, that's all true. In December, Julie came into the shop. She was working on the English Civil War Museum. She was looking for a book, obviously, to obviously do a bit of research. And while she was there, she was talking, and I get chatting. And she said to me, if you ever decide to do anything in Newark, here's my card. And I said, well, I live in Newark. So I said, I'll take the card and have a think about it. And come January time, I put a little bit of a plan together, and I thought, and I dropped to it. And I basically said, I've got an idea for a book festival in Newark. It's about time we had one.
Quite right, too, because after all, you can only go so many times across the border to Lincoln and indeed up to Edinburgh and, of course, many other festivals that are growing. But it's not just an ordinary book festival. I mean, I think Michael will attest to location, very important.
Yeah.
You've actually cited this inside Newark Castle, hence the reason it's called Books in the Castle.
Yeah, that was a bit of a cheeky request, that was. And the first ever meeting I had with the council, I basically said, where do you want to hold it? And they came out with some little ideas, and I said, I want the castle if I can get it. Because when you've got competition from nearly 400 book festivals a year now, you've got to have something that stands out.
And let's face it, Newark Northgate, it's a nice railway station, but you wouldn't necessarily want to have a book festival there, would you?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a thought.
And it's so historic, and the grounds are quite beautiful. You're next to the river. And I just thought, I remember seeing one of the other book festivals by the sea. It's called Books by the Sea. And I thought, wouldn't it be great, Books in the Castle? It just kind of rolls off the tongue
exactly.
a little bit.
As opposed to Books in the Sea, which we
absolutely,
get down to
yeah.
and all sorts of things. And if you're using one of those Kindle things, it could electrocute you. Stay
sure.
with us, Paul. We're going to find out more about how people can still get involved with this. I can't believe tickets are still available, but we'll promote this in all sorts of ways. But you put in a request for a special tune, and I think Michael might just be able to identify the artists performing.
Paperback Writer. Yes, sir, oh, madam, will you read my book? It appears to write. Will you take a look? Writer!
excellent stuff. Of course, the joy of tunes in the 60s is they're pretty brief and to the point. They got there, and before you knew where you were, oosh, it's time to actually move on again. Excellent choice, Paul, and a wonderful way of actually just setting the scene together for the fabulous Books in the Castle events. Looking, of course, at the website, booksinthecastle.co.uk. As you rightly said, Paul, a superb event, Newark Castle and Gardens, formal gardens bordered by the remaining walls of Newark Castle, which was partly destroyed in 1646 at the end of the English Civil War. They needed a book festival, Paul, clearly, just to calm down. And of course you got good parking, you got everything that you actually need to actually launch this whole thing. And just looking at some of the highlights, Saturday the 8th of August is when it starts, with a series of Ladies' Day special events, plus of course Trevor Fracknell, Newark in the Great War, a talk on the true life stories of our male and female descendants.
Yeah, that's a good start. Trevor's a local author. He used to work for the Nottingham Evening Post. He's very well known locally. I think the Lincoln book's out soon, by the way, the Lincoln in the Great War. I think that's at end of September, so I think it slightly misses the deadline, otherwise I would like to have been involved with that one. I think there's a lot of interest in the First World War at the minute, with the centenary events going on, and I think that fits the bill.
Absolutely. And speaking, of course, of war, on a more sombre note, shall we say, we have the stepsister of Anne Frank and also Auschwitz survivor Eva Schloss coming along for 12:30 p.m. on the Saturday. That must be a really sort of phenomenal coup for the festival in many ways, so actually we'll get that insight into a period of humanity and human history that perhaps we should never forget, but we should always acknowledge the inhumanity that took place there.
Yeah, I mean, what a fantastic guest for a first book festival. Eva is the stepsister of Anne Frank. She did know Anne Frank prior to the war. They were neighbours. Before they all went in hiding, then both families got betrayed. They all ended up in concentration camps. Eva's mother remarried Otto Frank, Anne's father, after the war. So Eva was privy to the diary, the inside story. You know, she was there from day one, you know, from when it was found to when it all came about. Now, that is, to be honest, that is a great coup. I mean, the Diary of Anne Frank is one of the biggest selling books in history. To have somebody who was there from day one to witness it, it's great.
As we said, sensational. Michael, thoughts from yourself?
Hello, Paul.
Hi,
I'm absolutely astounded that you managed to put this together in 5 months.
Yeah, I mean, it's Mission Impossible.
It's just amazing. I mean, that's incredible, because I know how hard it is to put...
Michael, that Sarah Bullimore, I know you know, you both know, she's been a big help to me on the side. Any advice or anything like that?
Yeah,
she's been really
a little rock, isn't she, Sarah? A little rock,
absolutely.
Really, on which we all rely on. That's important.
It's incredible, and the you're really lucky in the place that you've got it. Obviously, the castle, great.
Yeah.
But as you say, the kind of transport connections are really good. They're very important.
A1, A46,
yeah,
A1
and
train
the
station.
Train, it's brilliant. I was just wondering, are you planning to record any of the talks or anything as podcasts or little videos or anything like that?
Actually, I'm not 100% sure at this stage. I can talk to you about that later if you like.
Well, there we are.
Yeah,
I do know that obviously Newark's been going well. We'll give a little nod in the direction of a community radio service that's also launched in Newark. Radio Newark is doing well. But obviously, we're more than delighted to help out in every way, shape, or form as Siren 107.3 FM, first community radio station. Looking at some of the other key folk, Julie Summers, of course, we'll be hearing from on the programme in a few moments' time, actually. The author of Jam Busters, which, of course, people might sort of acknowledge is now being filmed as Home Fires, a hit BBC ITV series that goes out actually on Sunday evenings. Margaret Dickinson, or indeed, as you rightly refer to her, Michael, Saint Margaret Dickinson, because she shows tremendous support, one of Lincolnshire's finest writers, and indeed Sunday Times top 10 best-selling author, who will be signing on the Saturday, but also appearing on the Sunday for a special event, Afternoon Tea with Margaret Dickinson.
That's been moved to the Saturday now. She's just doing the one day now.
Uh-huh.
But you're quite right, at 2:30 in the afternoon, there's a cafe just around the corner from the castle. If I could just say it's called The Secret Garden. Margaret's very kindly, I know a lot of time you pay to go to special events, and Margaret's just asked for donations towards the local breast cancer support group, which is really nice.
hence Saint Margaret. It's phenomenal. Irma Kurtz, not necessarily going for sainthood, but certainly an agony aunt extraordinaire with an evening of wit and wisdom, will be rounding off the Saturday scenario.
Yes, she says. Yes, she's quite openly saying that she's opened 1 million letters since 1975 when she took on the.
You'd think she'd get somebody to do it for her, wouldn't you? Really, you know.
Yeah, you think
Hopefully, she hasn't got the paper cuts, because it could be, you know, all sorts of things to challenge on that basis.
Yeah,
and it's nice to see that as with the best festivals, and I'm sure this will be one of the best festivals for the New York Book Festival. You've got some young authors as well. Jay Glitherow, of course, will be joining us on the show, who actually sent one of her books off to the Buckingham Palace folk.
Well, yeah, we've got six or seven children's authors coming. I should point out that we've got 2 days of children's activities, storytelling and craft making, and it's all free. And the authors are obviously getting involved, doing storytelling, and we've got an illustrator coming who's obviously teaching kids how to draw. So, yeah, it's a really good lineup, to be honest.
It's quite phenomenal. So I know that the question I'm going to ask you now is probably unanswerable, but are there any particular aspects or areas that you're particularly looking forward to? I mean, are you secretly looking to check out Stephen Booth, ace crime writer, of course, author of the Cooper and Fry series, Peter Robinson, of course, one of the UK's top-selling murder authors? Is it John McGovern? Is it Mark Morris, one of the UK's top historians? Or is it no-nonsense political journalist Colin Brown? Where were you sort of, would you say, if you were looking at this as an outsider, if that's possible, Paul, you'd say, I quite fancy that one.
100% honest, I think Eva Schloss is quite the character. Mm. I think she has such a good story. You know, she was age 15, actually, was on her 15th birthday when the family was betrayed to the Nazis. And she spent the 15th birthday in a cell, listening to the Gestapo next door, torturing members of her family. And she's survived Auschwitz and the selection. Mm. And she's come out of all of her experiences such a good person, inspirational and full of wisdom. And she's. It's like listening to the Dalai Lama. She's just a really nice person.
Sounds absolutely wonderful. A reminder, people can actually go to booksinthecastle.co.uk to find out details, tickets, etc. Of course, there's a Facebook site as well, which I know you'd like to mention as well, Paul.
Yeah, absolutely. Nice and easy. It's Books in the Castle, and then a little dash, and then Newark Book Festival.
Well, I've already liked it, and I'm sure Michael will be liking it already, you know, in all sorts of ways.
I'll be doing that as soon as I get back up into the office. Yeah, we'll indeed.
Cross-referencing.
And I shall tweet the information about the festival as well.
See Twitter as well. Tweet.
All appreciated. Thank you.
Paul, it's been fabulous touching base with a good self. It is the Newark Book Festival special here on Siren 107.3 FM. Takeover for the Inspired on Air package, because it is inspiring. And we'd say get involved. Can people still get it? I mean, I haven't even mentioned the prices, but I mean, phenomenal. I think you've got decimal points out. I mean, you know, tickets £5, £8, £7. It's amazing. You know, it's
absolutely. We've tried to make the. You know, many book festivals, with respect, come across a little bit highbrowed, and I wanted to make this one family friendly, so everybody, no matter what your taste, whatever your budget, there's something there. It's... And hopefully we managed to sort that out. Ticket wise, if you go on the website, front page of the website, the home page, if you scroll down, there is all the e-ticket links. So you can just buy the ticket via PayPal, and you print it off your end, bring it on the day and flash it on the door, and all fantastic.
You've even got a blog as well that's in there, so what's not to appreciate about the actual blog that comes through there? It's phenomenal. Books in the Castle, the New York Book Festival. Paul, we will speak again very soon. Hopefully we'll catch up with you at the festival, because we're certainly looking to be there. It's on the 8th and the 9th of August, so an absolute essential from that point of view. And your reward, Paul, is obviously to get a second Beatles track. OK with you?
Thank you very much. All the best. I need somebody, help, not just anybody, help, you know I need someone, help, when I, help me get my feet back on the ground, won't you please, please help me, help me, help me, ooh.
There are certain wonderful, wonderful people who are just gorgeous writers and just generally sensational individuals per se. And when you've actually produced Sow the Seed, Reap the Harvest, Welcome Home, indeed the entire Fleet Haven trilogy as well, an e-book bundle, you can only be the legend who is Margaret Dickinson. Welcome, Margaret. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you, Alex. How are you?
Very good, and as I say, very guilty in a sense, because it's been far too long since we featured your good self, and we have to get you into the studio, because this is ridiculous. But at the same time, you've been so busy, and I must admit, I still treasure the book that one of my colleagues, I think Jodie Orton, actually managed to get you to sign for me at a book signing a wee while back. So I think I should actually make every effort to come and see you at Newark Castle, certainly.
Oh, that would be great. Thank you.
This is obviously part of the Newark Book Festival, and this particular edition of Inspired On Air is very much geared and focused on that particular side of things. It must be a good thing to actually have this proliferation of book festivals coming around the country.
It sounds wonderful. And the gentleman who's setting it up, it's very... he's got come up with some wonderful ideas, Paul. So I'm really looking forward to it. He's made some marvellous suggestions.
Well, Paul Trivett will be listening to this, I know, keenly. Probably sitting in the studio as we speak, effectively. So obviously keen from that side of things. The thing about your own particular writing, though, it has to be said that you managed to capture Lincolnshire life so effectively. I mean, whether it's the Clippy Girls, whether it's a case of Fairfield Hall and so on, you kind of get that lovely magical balance between experience, real life, and obviously narrative.
Oh, that's very kind of you to say so. I do try to do a lot of research for wherever I'm writing about. And I like to get the feel of it and as if you're there in people's lives.
Well, certainly, I mean, I like on, obviously, margaretdickinson.com, your own particular website from that side of things. You have a letter to the reader. Dear reader, a letter from Margaret Dickinson, which opens, from an early age, I dreamed of becoming a writer. Between 1968 and 1984, I had 8 novels published in hardback by Robert Hale, and so on. So, again, it's part of that whole notion, which is very much at the heart of the Lincoln-inspired movement, as indeed Sarah Bullimore would attest to, that, you know, if you can conceive it, you can achieve it.
Yes, definitely. I heard a little saying not long ago, and I don't want this to sound awful to anybody else, but I think it's actually true. The writers that are not published are the ones that gave up.
Yeah, very true.
Yeah, the ones that are published are the ones who never gave up. I think that was the actual quote.
So it, either way, when you deliver it, Margaret, it's spot on from that perspective. I mean, there are so many sort of great things happening with respect to the Newark Festival. I think the location as well. I mean, loath though I am to actually say, because we've got some fabulous locations, obviously, in Lincolnshire, right across the base. But, you know, Newark and Nottinghamshire and the castle is actually there. Quite exciting, really, as a location, a venue.
I think it's wonderful, and I've got a lot of readers around Newark. You know, I get to, have a signing session in Newark when the book comes out, and, you know, I've got a nice following there. And they're very... We're near neighbours, aren't we? You know, Newark is Nottinghamshire, I know, and quite rightly so, but we're neighbours.
Well, and hopefully friendly neighbours as well, because there are certain neighbours in certain parts of the country where you could actually sort of have a kind of battle through on that basis, which would be amazing. And we don't want to set up a civil war here. You know, we're too good for that particular perspective. Share with us, in terms of your recent sort of material that's coming through. I mean, the thing that does impress me is you're constantly producing good quality stuff. I mean, is it just a kind of discipline that you actually have, that you wake up in the morning and say, right, I'm going to do 8,000 words today, and you sort of will just go to it, or do you actually sort of wait for the muse to arrive?
When I'm writing, which, you know, solidly, which is in the winter months, I sort of start a new book about October, and I write through till February, when the last book is published, you know. And then when I've done the promotional tour, I then finish off the book, you know, however long it takes. My deadline each year is the 1st of August, which is looming large at the moment. But I always have the ideas in my head, the setting, the time, the characters, the background, before I ever start to write. And then I will get the rough draft down first, and that is just a case of going to the computer every day, and I try to aim at 10,000 words a week. Now, if I don't get my 10,000 words done in Monday to Friday, then I work Saturday and Sunday. So it is discipline. But the thing about writer's block, touch wood, I've never had it, because I plan beforehand. Now, I don't write copious notes of characters and things like that. That happens when I'm writing. But I do know what I'm going to write before I start. Mm.
And that planning and plotting and lines from that, do you sort of start off by having a general indication in terms of where the characters are going to be going, you know, from sort of, and it's kind of filling in, joining the dots, really, that's sort of the discipline part?
I have a rough, as I say, I start with the main character. It depends what has triggered the idea. If I can use Forgive and Forget as an example, because that was based solely in Lincoln, that started with reading an article about the typhoid epidemic that occurred in Lincoln in 1904-1905. And I start the what-if process. What if, you know, there was a young mother who just had her fifth child, she contracts typhoid and dies, and then her eldest daughter, who's only 13, has to leave school and look after her siblings and her father. And it just rolled on from then. Then I found out in 1911 about the transport workers' strike that affected the railway in Lincoln, and there were riots in Lincoln High Street. I mean, this is all true, in August 1911. So her father is then a worker on the railway, and she's courting, by this time, a policeman. And, of course, the father's on the side of the rioters, the policeman's on the side of the law, and the police, her boyfriend has to arrest her father. So there you've got the nucleus of a saga.
And in your hands, it's going to be magic, I know. A reminder, of course, we'll be saying this throughout the programme, but Books in the Castle, the Newark Book Festival, a major two-day book festival, August the 8th and August the 9th. Will you be there both days? Have you got a specific day when we can actually, the Margaret Dickinsonites can actually sort of gather and applaud and celebrate?
I'm certainly going to be there on the Saturday, mm-hmm. because I think I'm involved in two events on the Saturday. One hasn't actually been fixed yet, as we're speaking, but it will be. It will be a meet Margaret an afternoon tea with Margaret Dickinson in the afternoon, and then in the evening, early evening, I think there's going to be authors invited to come and meet. Writers groups invited to come and meet the authors, and they'll like do a from table to table or from room to room, and going having so many. So much time with each author.
It's going to be genuinely sensational. I mean, I'm tempted to say tea with your good self, Margaret. It's priceless, you know. I mean, that's the key thing, in every sense of the word.
Well, that is going to be a free event, and it's going to be asking for donations for Cancer Support Group, which is a wonderful organisation, and they do so much marvellous work. So that is in view of that, for donations for that.
Margaret, you're going for sainthood as well, I can tell, and quite rightly so.
I can't claim the idea of that. That was Paul.
Well, both of you. It'll be a joint sort of routine. Fabulous touching base with yourself. There's so much time. In fact, we need to do a special Margaret Dickinson event just to have a full sort of show where we can actually work through that. But Margaret, for the moment, many thanks indeed. We look forward to seeing you. Books in the Castle, the Newark Book Festival, August the 8th, August the 9th, so you'll be sorting things through from that. You can go to, of course, the Facebook site and find out more regular updates with respect to that, or indeed, as I say, just simply playback podcasts, all sorts of other goodies being put together from that point of view. For the moment, Margaret Dickinson, we salute you, and we'll see you very soon.
Thank you, Alex. Bye-bye.
Lincoln Inspired is more than just an arts festival, more than a literary festival, more than a whole set of lifestyle opportunities, and more than what the world has needed for millennia.
To see just how much more Lincoln Inspired can make you, go to lincolninspired.co.uk and explore the inspiration.
Well, we said earlier in the show that one of the texts was actually sent to the royals, of course. That wasn't being derogatory in any way, shape or form. Somebody saying that obviously Prince George would benefit immeasurably from receiving a copy of Free as a Flea. Isn't that right, creator of Free as a Flea, Jay Glitherow?
Yeah, that's absolutely correct.
Spot on. You know, if you're going to actually get that Royal Seal of Approval, why not indeed, you know, send the book to Prince George and, you know, thumbs up from that point of view, which is excellent stuff.
Thank you.
So obviously, fleas, you know, we think about them in all sorts of ways, but Free as a Flea, it makes perfect sense. What's it all about?
Well, Flea was a character really created by my little boy, Noah. Cut a long story short, pardon the pun, my father used to sell veterinary pharmaceuticals, and when Noah was very small, Dad ran a flea promotional shampoo campaign and came home with a giant flea, which a soft toy one, which Noah really took to. And for weeks after, Noah would ask for stories about Flea. And some of the stories began to stick, and Free as a Flea was born.
Well, you know, the original Noah, of course, had lots of animals. They must have had fleas.
Absolutely,
got flea circuses. I mean, there is no stopping the possible flea world in which we go. You know, Free as a Flea, Free as a Flea, but Flea Bird. You could go into rock music with all sorts of products.
Absolutely.
Anyway, apart from that, the fact of the matter is you're going to be another part of this sensational festival, which, as I say, has taken over the Inspired on Air programme package this month. It's the first ever Newark Book Festival. Are you looking forward to it, Jade?
Oh, very, very much so. I'm so happy to be a part of it. The concept sort of created by Paul Trick and his team is absolutely just phenomenal. He's put so much work into it, and for there to be a dedicated children's area, I think is just fabulous, because you know, what better way to get people involved and, you know, inspire the next generation than have a children's area.
Which is why this slot on Inspired on Air is so perfect, Jade. You fit it together so wonderfully. Michael, thoughts of yourself?
Yeah. Oh, sorry, my voice is going here.
He's got a flea.
I got a whole lot of fleas in
my throat. He gets around.
I was just thinking, yes, flea circuses. I actually went to a flea circus when I was a child once. And people don't believe me.
Is there going to be a sequel, Jade, or have we already done the flea circus?
Yeah, there is a second one out, actually, but it's Tea with a Flea. Flea travelling to London, circus.
You could do one which is an escape from the flea circus, or fleeing the flea circus, something like that.
I'm writing notes as we're speaking.
you could have a police collar with a flea collar. Yes. sometimes we just set off on a creative journey and it's all wonderful. Jade, you're a relatively young author. I mean, obviously in more ways than one from that point of view. I mean, looking at the lineup, it does seem as though Paul has really managed to get that balance between people who've been, I mean, apologies to Margaret Dickinson, but she's been around a wee while, you know, doing all sorts
Absolutely.
Of things, etc. Julie Summers as well. Do you think that's a really good balance of book festivals, to actually have that notion of sort of new upcoming authors like your good self, of course, and more seasoned pros?
Yeah, I really do. I mean, tall order following an interview with Margaret Dickinson. I was a bit blown away by that one.
She was your warm-up lady, that's all. That's the important thing.
Very kind of you, but I'm afraid I still kind of look round when people refer to me as an author and sort of look for someone else, because it's something I very much fell into. It wasn't a job, so to speak. It was I was presented with this idea and an opportunity and just ran with it. So to be involved in something like the book festival is a real boost for me, because it's kind of a little bit of recognition of what I've done, but also it's really nice just to get out there and say to people, you know, just have a go. You don't have to, it doesn't have to be a career, it doesn't have to be your main job. If you've got an idea, sit down and run with it for a bit and, you know, see if it's got some legs.
And I think it's that aspect of the creative industries that's going to make this festival a tremendous success, because we're speaking in a few moments with Julie Summers about her views on festivals, and there are an awful lot of festivals around, and some are better than others, some are more challenging than others, some have got a sort of more friendly approach and so on. As a citizen of Newark, you must be quite proud that actually they've built the festival for yourself.
Oh, massively. I mean, I think kind of as a resident of Newark, you kind of forget what the castle is a little bit. You sort of pass it every day. And to have something, so important, so big happening there, I think just all the elements have come together so nicely. Hopefully it will show, you know, Newark at its best, which would be really nice.
And without giving too many spoilers about Free as a Flea out there, it basically tells the story of a flea that lives behind a cat's ear and is forced to leave. Because the animal's owner buys flea shampoo.
Absolutely, yes. And it's then really about his journey away from cat initially. He meets lots of friends and hops onto lots of creatures and travels around the world. But it's really sort of the essence of it is about there's no place like home, and his travel back to cats and back to the ear and back to where he enjoys to be.
Just as long as it doesn't end like Ring of Bright Water and the otter gets squashed in the end. Sorry, spoiler alert there.
Yeah,
but that traumatised me as a child. You know? I mean, you're just getting used to that otter, and then what happens? There's a big chopper. It's just outrageous, you know? Just don't know where we're going.
Absolutely.
In terms of the sort of festival, when can we actually connect with your good self, Jade? When are you on with respect to the festival?
Well, I'm there the Saturday and the Sunday. I believe Saturday is being billed somewhat as Ladies' Day. So I think there's lots of sort of guest strong women authors. So I know there'll be readings on that day. But the children's area is open from 9:30 till 4:30 on the Saturday and 9:30 till 2:30 on the Sunday. And I will just mention, there is a wonderful group working alongside us called Newark and Sherwood Play Support Group, and they're offering free children's activities across the 2 days, so arts and crafts. And I'm very honoured to say they've picked Free as a Flea as their inspiration to do a giant junk model. So I'm not sure what they'll come up with. Could be a giant flea, could be a giant cat, but I'm sure it'll all be very exciting.
It's going to be phenomenal. Now, in terms of social media and various other things, astonishingly, there is actually another Jade Glitherow that's actually out there. It's a Facebook
page. I know.
Whoa.
I was astounded.
So how does the listener get in tune with authentic, genuine, 100% Newark-based Jay Glitherow goodies?
Well, Flea has his own Facebook page. So if you Google Free as a Flea, our Facebook page will come up there and you can like us and share us and find out things that are happening. Otherwise, the book is for sale in Strays in Newark, which is on Middlegate. And it's also available through the Facebook page.
Jade, it's been fantastic, and it's been, quite frankly, I feel flea, you know, in all sorts of ways. Yes.
Excellent, thank you.
A different line for that. We will connect again, I'm sure, in the very near future. Michael, any closing thoughts?
I was just thinking when he returns to the cats, it would have been nice if he... Did he return to exactly the same...
Part of the ear,
or did he go to the other ear?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we could have explored the other ear. Yeah, I like where you're going there. Yeah.
Anyway, that's
see, you're inspiring our ace poet, you see, Michael, to write an ode to to Flea, effectively. I presume it is Mr. Is it Mr. Flea or Miss Flea? I don't know. They're not hermaphrodite, are they, these fleas? It's different.
I always think of him as a Mr.
Mr. Flea.
Yeah, he could be either.
Tragically, no flea cropped up in terms of tunes, but we have got a butterfly.
You might wake up some morning to the sound of something moving past your window, across my dreams with nets of wonder. I chased a bright, elusive butterfly of love. Across my dreams with nets of wonder, I chased a bright, elusive butterfly of love.
Now, when you start off by producing a biography entitled Fearless on Everest, The Quest for Sandy Irvine, you might think, well, that's it. It's all done. It's all made. But then when you actually go on to produce such classics as The Colonel of Tamarkin, Philip Tuzzi and The Bridge on the River Kwai, and A Stranger in the House, and When the Children Came Home, and Jam Busters, you might well think, we're dealing clearly with a Renaissance person here. And we are, because it's the legend that is Julie Summers, the creator of so many wondrous things, specifically looking at the history of the home front on the Second World War, it has to be said. Julie, welcome to the programme. How are you?
Very well indeed, thank you. Lovely to be here.
That's a genuine delight to actually touch base with your good self, because so many sort of wondrous tales have actually come through from, obviously, Home Fires, which is, of course, the ITV series that Jam Busters was adapted into from that point of view. 6.5 million viewers, that can't be had in these days of multi-channel television, so doing extraordinarily well there, including a cameo appearance by your good self, of course.
Yes, I did. I said to them when they were going to put me into the series, please don't make me wear a grey curly wig, and they did.
Oh, Lord, I don't know.
I look like a large version of my grandmother.
Well, it does feature two wonderful sort of regular midweek drivettes from times past, both Samantha Bond and, of course, Rachel Hurdwood, who are actually in the series. So great stuff from that point of view. Good to see that Sam and Rachel. Of course, it's Rachel's dad who does a lot of our jingles and idents. So it just goes to show, it all fits together. And
it all fits very nicely.
It's a splendid text. But looking back over some of your sort of backdrop, before we actually talk about the wonderful Newark Festival, it's interesting. I think you shared some classroom time with a Robert Louis Stevenson soul. Is that correct?
I did indeed. Gosh, you do know well. I was at school with a girl called Mary Lou Bevan, who was either a granddaughter or great-granddaughter of Robert Louis Stevenson, and she was a very, very good English scholar at school. And I remember feeling very sad that there was this obviously brilliant talent, and that was not going to leave me any space to become an author. So I didn't, when I left school, start writing. I went off and worked in the art world for 20 years.
Ah, well, you see, at the end of the day, who's raising hens these days? I shall say no more. It's great stuff, and there's nothing wrong with hen raising, it has to be said, you know.
Raising hens,
very important side of things from that perspective. The interesting juxtaposition between that first biography that you came out with, of course, Fearless on Everest, The Quest for Sandy Irvine, and, of course, the fact that you regularly appear at the Kendall Mountain Festival on an annual basis, chairman of the Mountain Heritage Trust. It's quite a juxtaposition between that and, obviously, the research and your writing about the Second World War.
Well, it is and it isn't. And one of the link is the people who get themselves into extreme situations and by and large get themselves out of them. Sandy Irvine sadly didn't, because he dies on Everest. Yeah. But what the link for me is the extraordinary human spirit and how people push themselves to do very brave things in circumstances that they get into because they've gone climbing, they've gone exploring like Shackleton did. I wrote a book about Shackleton. Or they have it forced upon them, like the Second World War. And they're in fact of very few extreme situations that are as black and white as mountaineering and war. So there's quite a strong link.
Binary oppositions to the fore, really. If, of course, we were applying the structuralist approach to deconstructing the text, which we won't go into at this stage, because it's another line entirely. Clearly, it's the first ever Newark Book Festival. It's coming up between Saturday the 8th and Sunday the 9th of August. You're going to be there, of course, on the Saturday, I believe.
Saturday afternoon, 2 p.m.
at Saturday afternoon. We've been speaking to, obviously, the creator of the book festival as well, in terms of the sequence that's put together. There, of course, is Paul Trickett. I mean, it seems almost like a sort of, well, why haven't they had a Newark Book Festival before? Are you looking forward to it?
Immensely. I really am. I think the setting is going to be beautiful. And I love Paul's energy. I think a new festival always has that magical moment before it begins when you think, what's its character going to be? And with Paul's energy and with the setting of the castle, I think it's going to be stunning. And I think it's a really valuable addition to the very many book festivals that are springing up all over Britain.
This is, of course, the point, because, I mean, clearly back in the day at the start of this century, I was involved with the Lincoln Book Festival. Of course, that's developed into a whole range of things, and partly Inspired On Air is part of that in terms of a regular monthly radio feature which only focuses on the best of festivals. But as well as, obviously, the biggies, the Edinburgh, and obviously the Hay-on-Wye and so on, it does seem as though there are an awful lot of other really good festivals, lots of energy, lots of dynamism, and that can only be good, obviously, for what something we love to encourage, which is obviously greater readerships and more books.
Oh, it is. I'm completely for them. I have to say, I couldn't do them all because I think there are 365.
Physically impossible.
I'd never write another book.
Precisely.
But I have to say, I am so in favour of the smaller festivals because you really get a sense of the audience. You get treated. I mean, I got treated very well at Hay this year. I can't possibly fault it. But it's very much more intimate to go to a small festival and you get to talk to the audience. And I've suggested that after the talk I do at Lincoln, at Newark, that we end up by having some sort of cups of tea with the WI members who are coming. Because I think it's a wonderful opportunity for authors to meet their readers as well as readers to see authors performing. And it is a performance when you go to a festival. But when it's a festival that's youthful and energetic, it gives you such a buzz as an author, and it's just lovely to meet people who maybe in that area will go to a festival for the first time in their lives, and I hope they do come, and I hope they have a wonderful experience.
Precisely. And in terms of the WI, of course, that really, we're in the midst of so many celebrations for an organisation which I think probably the latter part of the last century kind of became a little bit cliched. Then, of course, the Calendar Girls scenario came out, and now we've got musicals being written by members of Take That, etc., a whole range of other factors. Clearly, from your own research, it's something which, you know, has really provided a wonderful look at a cultural communication subculture that's kind of always, well, been with us certainly for the last century.
It has, and it is a fascinating organisation. You're right, it did lose its way. It lost its way really in the sort of feminist period, because the WI is feminist. It's been feminist all its lifetime, but it's not political feminism. And the feminism was taken to a very great height by people in the cities, in the universities. And the WRI is a grassroots movement, and its strength lies in its ability to spot a problem, focus on it, and lobby. And I was really fascinated doing some work recently. The WRI proposed a ban on smoking in public places. Guess when? 1964. Mm. They were 7 years ahead of the German Green Party in suggesting alternative energy and recycling. So they're very quietly, slightly subversive, and I love that aspect of their personality as an organisation. And I think what it also does is it offers women a very safe space to go and try something new. And we do try new things at school, but after you leave school, it's quite difficult to experiment with public speaking, drama writing, whatever you like to suggest. And in a WI situation, you can do that. And I think that's a wonderful opportunity. And I think young women now are seeing it as a positive rather than thinking of it as a rather sort of dowdy, foosty organisation, which it very definitely is not.
I love the fact that with your Twitter feed, of course, it's at Julie Summers UK. We've got the notion that you love history, rowing and mountaineering. I could see you sort of someday kayaking down various sort of mountain slides as well from that point of view.
No, I'm not as brave as that. No, I row on the Flat River here. I arrived this morning at 7:30 with my partner.
Well, that makes perfect sense. Of course, the website juliesummers.co.uk for more details about the fabulous, amazing scenario that's there. Julie, we're really looking forward to obviously welcoming you to New York. I'm sure that Paul will be delighted that you're joining the team. I know he is, actually, from that point of view. And you can access details about the New York Book Festival by going to booksinthecastle.co.uk. Julie, it's been fabulous touching base with yourself. I've even started following you on Twitter with respect to
this. Thank you very much indeed. Well, looking forward to New York very much.
And Julie, we look forward to seeing you then, and hopefully we'll catch up again in the very near future.
That'd be lovely.
Lincoln Inspired is more than just an arts festival, more than a literary festival, more than a whole set of lifestyle opportunities, and more than what the world has needed for millennia. To see just how much more Lincoln Inspired can make you, go to lincolninspired.co.uk.
So you think you could tell? Wish you were here.
Sorry, 107.3 FM. In the same show, we can move from the Beatles through Val Dunigan through Pink Floyd, and of course, the theme of today's show, which has quite clearly been what, Michael Blackburn?
The Newark Book Festival.
The Newark Book Festival, exactly. You can go to booksinthecastle.co.uk and find out all about the goodinesses that are actually there. And you will not be disappointed. I think it's going to be a sensational day, and hopefully I'll be able to attend at least one, maybe even two of the days that will be taking place. Saturday the 8th of August and Sunday the 9th of August. Just looking through some of the key folk. I mean, Michael, anything appeal to your good self? Will it be the excitement of connecting with Eva Schloss? Will it be Peter Robinson? Will it be squadron leader Tony Pickering from the Battle of Britain RAF Hurricane experiences? One of the last surviving members of the Fuse coming in to sign books on the Sunday.
It's I have to say that when I was organising stuff here in Lincoln a few years ago, we had Eva Schloss come to do a talk, mm-hmm. and it was a really powerful, moving experience to meet her and listen to her talking. So that's definitely one I would encourage people to go and to go and see. I must admit the The Squadron Leader one sounds quite fascinating as well, actually.
Yeah. I quite like John McGovern, actually, because I mean, just from the fact that he is a Nottingham Forest legend, and obviously as a Manchester City fan, I have no connection whatsoever, apart from obviously Trevor Francis, who was purchased from Forest for £1 million or thereabouts.
Is that football or something?
Just thought I'd mention it. You know, it's there, and a real chance to actually work there. He's on Sunday at 12:30. Mark Morris, of course, one of the UK's top historians, who's presented history documentaries on Channel 4, just written a biography on King John. Now, let's say, doesn't King John have something to do with that other thing we've been celebrating this year, that kind of 800th anniversary the group of barons got together? I think it's Carter. Is it Get Carter?
Somebody might have been Get Carter. Magna Carta is...
exactly. Anyway, Mark Morris will be appearing on the Sunday, as indeed, of course, will Irma Kurtz and a whole heap of others. As we said, if you want to find out more, simply go to which web address? It's booksinthecastle.co.uk. There we are, booksinthecastle.co.uk. Thanks for the team today, all contributing wonderfully well. Thanks to Paul Trickett, of course, the founder of the Newark Book Festival, Margaret Dickinson, Jade Glitherow, and, of course, Julie Summers, and your good self, Michael Blackburn.
Oh, it's been a great pleasure.
How's the creative ode to the Midrick Drive or ode to radio broadcasting coming on? Is it taking shape?
I've got ideas for things. Good. Yes, definitely.
Well, we're coming through. Ready for Inspired on Air in August?
Definitely.
There we are, you see. We'll be back then. Whether you're listening to us live on a Wednesday or indeed the rerun on Thursday or indeed via podcast, we appreciate your presence, dear listener. And that's it. All we have to say now is happy trails, fare thee well, and see you soon. Michael, would you like to say farewell?
Farewell.
Lincoln Inspired is more than just an arts festival, more than a literary festival, more than a whole set of lifestyle opportunities, and more than what the world has needed for a millennia. To see just how much more Lincoln Inspired can make you, go to lincolninspired.co.uk and explore the inspiration.